You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host Martech program, Joe Martech.
I only go where I'm directed.
You know, have you ever noticed, Vince, and listeners, you know, we were just
I like that intro. Did you see that?
Yeah. Was this
wow.
We had a brand new, were you a cheerleader, Karen, in your former life?
I mean, she got the rolling of the hands.
Can you do that again, to stand up and do it?
That was pretty good. Very good, Karen.
You know what it is? I think she's getting a little nervous that we don't know how to start this show, but which is true. We don't, you know, but we do need a little instruction on occasion. That was very good instruction. You know, kind of reminded me of this Sister Margaret when I was in Catholic school, but just before she beat me over the head.
Well, you know, you could have been a conductor in a prior life.
Very,
very good.
You know, okay, a conductor, not a cheerleader, because that wasn't a good move.
No, conducting move it was.
Well.
That means, come on, play.
Right. So anyway, now we're going to get a little bit serious because those of you that have listened to our show, and I'm sure other people have said, Pastor Tom just had a disaster happen. He had a son he just lost, and then week before that, he had a heart attack. And week before that, or two or three, he had a quadruple bypass surgery. So the poor guy and the family is a mess, to put it mildly. And, you know, this is a thing, Vince, and I was talking to Karen about it. I've never understood praying for the dead, but I do understand praying for the living. You know, because I figure once you're dead, see, only Catholics believe in purgatory. We can move you a little bit, right?
You have to pray for all of the saints.
Okay, yes. But I'm thinking is once you're dead, isn't God says, okay, fine, you go to the left, you go to the right, it's over with. Oh, wait a minute, I made a mistake. I don't think so. I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
You can get upgraded.
You get upgraded.
I don't know. I think that's a subject that it deserves more time than this show.
Okay, well, see, this is it. So we were talking, you know, Pastor Tom's son died.
Yes.
And you know that. Yeah, that's. And then, you know, obviously the week before that, he had another heart attack, Pastor Tom. And then 3 or 4 weeks before that, he had quadruple bypass surgery. So the poor guy and the family has been, can you imagine what a mess this is?
No, I can't imagine it. Then I pray for him every day.
Family, everything was up in Georgia, you know, for the funeral, which is where his roots are. And then they just drove back, I mean, literally today, and it's called, there's people that want to see him. And Tom said, no.
Well, you can understand.
You need some time to
understand. I understand.
Organize your thoughts.
Let me tell you, it's called, this is a tradition. You know, a lot of religions and a lot of people, a lot of ethnic groups have monster funerals. They make a big deal.
Like
you go to them.
And I've been to quite a few good Irish ones.
Okay.
Yeah, and Italians don't Irish do so badly tanks. Either.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, we took Aunt Hilda and we laid her out in the living room and had the party at the house.
That's right. And boy, did they party back then.
Yeah,
my
grandfather had to.
Laid out at the house. Forget that. And we're not paying for a funeral home. Are you kidding? We lead our...
And they, it's a very personal experience, and it was great for the family.
Yeah, they put you right in the living room.
Yeah, that was it. You know, I'm going to get fried. I mean, that's it.
And you're getting fried. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Your spirit's going.
Yes. And then all I'm asking is that I want to be dropped on an outgoing tide.
Outgoing.
So you want to be more like chum.
Not... Yeah.
Want to be incoming.
I had a buddy of mine that died, and he says, okay, Joe, I want you to take my ashes and sprinkle them in the ocean. He says, but not on the 3 mile line.
What's the significance of the 3 mile line?
From the 3 mile line is where you can start dumping sewage.
Right. Well,
That all makes sense.
It all makes sense, right? So I said, I waited 3 miles and a yard. No, I didn't really. But back to, yeah. Anyway, and I'm not making light of it, even though it sounds like we are. But, you know, good Christians, if I drop dead right this minute, it's fine with me. I've lived better than a good life, and, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm not necessarily in a hurry. Besides, it'd ruin the rest of the show.
Absolutely.
Because the police would come and they'd wonder why Vince Rizzino killed me.
Right. And they'd say, boy, you had a hot topic
and
going on
and there. I can see Mike Paula sneaking out the door real quick, say, Vince, he's yours.
It's nice knowing you, Vin.
Well, sometimes tax accountants do give you very bad news, and it could create such an outcome.
Yes, but I haven't had that happen yet, thank the good Lord.
Yes.
That's because you're a good one.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't deliver that terrible news.
Write this phone number down, class. This is important. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Now, if you're driving a car, don't write it down. Just remember it. 888-221-8990. Any questions you have, we have Vince Rizzino, CPA, forensic CPA, ex-college professor. I'm not going to say not at Columbia. I wouldn't bring that up again. And then Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. And I'm telling you what, Mike gets more questions than anybody because financing, interest rates. I heard interest rates went down again.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
If you heard, the Fed did not raise the rates.
I know that.
So, you know, they were possibly anticipating a little bit of a rate increase. So the market reacted to that. And when they didn't, then the market came back down. So, mortgage rates are really closely tied to the 10-year T-bill. So it was, you know, towards last week, it was hovering about 1.75. And after the Fed decided not to take any action, it went back down to about 1.5, 1.59.
Do they not pay attention to the 30-year anymore? No, it's the 30-year?
Well, you know where they link it to the 10-years? Because the average length of time someone keeps a mortgage is not 30 years. It's closer to 7 to 10 years.
Yeah,
so they link it more to the 10-year than anything else.
It used to
else.
Be 30-year bonds because people kept their mortgages from start to finish.
They also used to have
back then, I'm talking 20, 30 years ago.
The LIBOR rate was another index that was used.
Mostly for arms. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that London interbank rate, right?
London interbank
something offering rate. Yeah.
They still use that.
Yeah, they still use that for just about every arm out there.
Yeah.
So anybody, and we all get a kick out of it because I was talking about this on the morning show that during the height of the recession, you hear on the radio and TV and newspapers, there was no money available, no mortgages are available, nobody can get financing, which was never true.
No, we stayed in business the whole time.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And all the way through the recession and afterwards, there have always been certain mortgages like VA. Mm-hmm. And a VA is a no-money-down loan.
Yeah, VA is 100% financing.
USDA program.
That's been around for a long, long time. That's 100% financing. Yeah. We do quite a few of those.
FHA now is what, 3.5%?
3.5% down. Conventional has a 3% down program. So, you know, a lot of people come into my office with the misconception that they have to put 20% down.
Right.
And that's not true at all. Now, there are some programs that do require 20%, but usually those are higher priced loans, you know, the jumbo loans.
Yeah.
And you know, there are still some subprime loans out. Well, we don't call them subprime anymore because it has a bad
ring
to it, right?
Yeah.
So we call them non-QM loans.
Non-QM,
qualified mortgages.
Non-qualified.
QM, yeah, I like QM. Yeah. We've got to abbreviate. This is good.
But you still have to qualify for those.
I was going to say that you could put 3% down, but you still have to meet the income qualification to support the mortgage.
There's really
right?
no such thing as no income verification loans anymore because part of Dodd-Frank outlawed those.
Yeah.
They came up with in 2014, they came up with a part of Dodd-Frank, which was the ability to repay law. So now we're obligated to make sure that we have to document that you have sufficient income to qualify for that loan.
And what's amazing is, isn't this a miracle that they went right back to what it used to be?
Well, you know, Joe,
they always had ability to pay as the criteria for the loan.
You know, I've been doing this for 27 years, and for 27 years we always had some form of no income or limited income verification loan. And Now is the only time period in my career that I haven't had something like that to offer.
Are there any now? Have they come back?
No, it's illegal. It's Dodd illegal Frank. To offer those. Part of, because of Don
unless
Frank.
They change the rules again.
Well, I think Don wants to change the rules. You know,
well, I think you could. I think you can make those loans responsibly. Yeah. You know, there are situations where maybe someone retired and they got a large stipend from, you know, from the retirement. Maybe they sold their house up north. They have $1 million in the bank. You know, there are people that can, that have the ability to generate income, but just don't document that yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because maybe that asset is too new to create income.
And they didn't want to, they didn't want to face the fact that maybe some people might be in businesses that you'd question the income if they had to disclose it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of tax-free bonds, they should have to report those on a tax return.
Yes,
but even though you don't pay tax on it, you report it as
passive income. Yes, because there's certain other tax elements that might add that back.
Yeah, depends on the state,
depends on the state. Depends all.
1-888-221-8990. So I am Joe Martek, and Joe Martek's a financial advisor, also called a stockbroker, securities principal, lots of licenses. Basically, the concept of our group is to help people answer questions to do with their money, to do with their taxes or businesses, to help people with questions they might have about buying or selling a home. So we also have, as part of the group, we're not here today, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who's probably the hardest working realtor alive, and as far as I think, she might be the hardest working person alive.
I just spoke to her about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, she's only got two speeds. She's either working or sleeping, you know.
And when she's working, it's full speed.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, she doesn't sit still very long, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're working with a disabled veteran right now, both Victoria and I, and you know, he has some trouble getting around. So, you know, Victoria arranged for the title company to have the closing rate in his living room. I mean, she goes really above and beyond for the customer.
This is not the bull man, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I heard from him.
You don't think he helped that a little bit, do you?
Well, you know what? He did a service for the country, and if that's what he wants, then he's entitled to get the extra.
You referred him to me. I spoke to him briefly.
Of course. I get a kick. He calls almost every week on the show up in Fort Pierce. This week he didn't because I didn't pick on him on the radio. Oh. Normally I pick on him. Mm-hmm. But if I pick on him, he'll call in. But then I says, you know, Bulldog, what really upsets me is every one of our group you have used but me. And I said, what is wrong with this picture? He goes, hey, I just bought a house. I don't have any money left.
Ah, there you go.
And I said, I know, Mike Paulus. You didn't put that much down. Anyway, but it was he has been one of the happiest people alive to have met our group, and how we've been able to help him through these things and answer these questions. And Victoria's got the patience of Job, toting him around.
God bless Victoria.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then we have Mr. Greg Fasula, attorney.
Right.
You know, in fact, I had a client yesterday, a brand new client, that because of the Fort Pierce station, that also lives at King's Isle, which I have about 50 clients in, and he literally was across the street from a client of mine, and because of the show, he had used Greg first, and then so he's going back to Greg now. Now they're not young, this couple, and they're not in what you call the best of health. He's got that 75-foot-long hose to his nose that he walks around the house with, and don't step on my hose, you know, for oxygen. And she's got severe osteoporosis.
Wow.
So he says, do you think Greg would come to the house? And I said, you know Greg. Well, ask him. I'm sure he will.
Greg's a really kind guy, and I'm sure he'd do it.
Yeah, yeah. So Greg's an attorney, folks, if you missed that part. And the reason when we started doing these shows, I wanted to find local professionals that were, number one, not new in business, number two, had integrity.
And makes house calls.
And makes house calls.
There you go.
The other part of the group, we don't share commissions, we don't share fees, we don't share office space, nothing. I wanted independence that I considered the top of their field. So when we started doing it, it was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Independent became the monster word because a captive agent works for one insurance company, and if that company can't do what needs to be done for the client, or if that company all of a sudden is to double or triple or non-renew, the client is left in the wash. But the independent says, I don't work for an insurance company, I work for the client, and I might have 10, 20, or 30 companies, but Dan has pushing 100 companies. He's 37 years in business, and in my humble opinion, the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. So we started off with Greg Fasula, attorney, Joe Martek, financial advisor, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. We're guessing around 2004 doing these shows. And then over a period of time, we added Vince Rosino, CPA, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, and Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, trying to handle timely questions and important things for most of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously we're in Florida and a lot of our clients are not so young, but we have been able to help an awful lot of young people now too. And especially, I think, from WCNO, that we've had quite a few young people that needed help, and especially Mike and mortgages and financing.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of first-time home buyers. I really enjoy working with the first-time home buyers because you can see just the excitement in their face. And yeah, they're enthusiastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not the easiest thing getting a mortgage nowadays. I mean, we just talked about how you have to document, you know, and now it's a bit excessive, you know, what we have to document. We have to document where the money comes from, how much income you make. You know, we have to explain every credit item on your credit report nowadays. So sometimes it's a chore, but, you know, it's really nice to help these young folks, you know, get into their first home.
So I know, like, when like, say, mom and dad said, okay, we're going to give you $5,000 to put down on a house. So you say, okay, fine, I've got $5,000 from mom and dad. And they'll say, okay, where did mom and dad get the money from?
Well, yeah.
I know. They don't make it easy today, you know.
Yeah, it's not easy, but right. It's doable. And, I try to hold your hand all the way through it.
Yeah.
And because it's a complicated process. There's so many moving parts to it.
Let me give you another little minor thing that is one of the reasons Mike Paulus is critical to the group. If you walk into a bank and you say, I want to get a mortgage, somebody will take an application, and that person may or may not be what I'm going to call the most experienced mortgage person. And usually within 2 or 3 weeks, they'll get back to you and say yes, no, or maybe. Mike will do that in 15 minutes over the phone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a monster difference.
I truly believe that, you know, if you're not prepared to, you know, get a mortgage now or apply for a mortgage, you know, I'm there to try to set you up for success in the future, try to point you in the right direction, tell you what to do. Because, I mean, not everybody is qualified right now to get a mortgage. But, you know, maybe with a little tweaking here and there, tell you what to do, put some money in the bank, maybe pay off a credit card or two. You know, I can point you in the right direction how to set yourself up for success in the future.
It might take 6 weeks, 6 months, or even a year.
So now could I embarrass him?
Of course.
And Mike?
why not?
Because I was going to say, you know, Mike is more than just an application taker. I mean, there are people that will just take applications, not really know their product. But I've dealt with Mike on several clients, and one I'm thinking of right now. You know, he's acting more like a businessman, takes a businessman's approach to financing and not just the particular super technical aspects of a loan. Mm-hmm. And so he can help you all the way through. He's not just a mortgage guy. Yeah. He's a lot more than that.
And, you know,
hey, wait a minute. Okay, now that you complimented him, what about me?
When I think of something, I'll let you know.
I think we almost had a call, maybe. But I guess that was a quick one.
You know, I've grown the company from, we started the company in 2005, and we've now grown to 19 loan officers, and we're doing a pretty nice volume. And most of my loan officers that have come to work for me have bank experience. They've worked at banks for many years, and now they're ready to move on and offer different products and help other folks. Because when you do go to a bank, you're very limited in the products that you can get from them. It's, you know, they have one set of guidelines, one set of criteria. Right. You know, we sell to a lot of different institutions, so we have a lot of different guidelines that we can offer our customers and a lot of different products.
1-888-221-8990. So if you've got questions today, anything to do with taxes, businesses, one of our favorite subjects is how to really mess up well is to start a business without the proper guidance.
Yes.
A lot of times people are very emotionally involved in a decision, and it can oftentimes lead to a bad decision. So when you get somebody that's objective, that can stand on the sidelines and carry both sides of the stick, it helps a lot. And there's Vince Rosino, CPA. I mean, you and I, Vince, over a period of our relationship, have saved a few people quite a bit of money
and aggravation too. Yep. I mean, I had a meeting last week when I was on the west coast of Florida with a client, And they were thinking of going into partnerships. And I was explaining all of the legal structure about and the tax ramifications. Mm-hmm. But then out of that conversation came other things having little to do with taxes or accounting, but rather in the way the relationship was going to work. So this conversation is very important in the very early stages when you're getting into a relationship with somebody, either partnership or an LLC or whatever.
While we're talking, let's take a call.
Sure, go ahead.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, sir. I was calling in regards to get some information on a reverse mortgage.
A reverse mortgage, did you say?
Yes.
Well, let's put it in reverse. Hey,
Mike. you're hitting Mike in a soft spot because he does walk backwards a lot. But that's okay.
I'm a firm believer in reverse mortgages, and I love to do them.
Yeah, reverse mortgage.
What, do you have a question, do you?
I wanted to get some information, on the reverse mortgage, almost what percentage that the government take and how much would I get back?
Well, the reverse mortgage is predicated on a lot of different things, but mostly your age. This is one of the few things in life that where the older you are, the better the product is. Because the older you are, the more we lend you.
I am 81.
Okay.
You're looking good.
I think my property value may be 230.
Okay. Do you have a mortgage on the property now?
And I owe 60.
Very good. Well, I'm sure that there's more than enough equity to pay off that loan, to give you some cash in your pocket, or to set up a line of income stream for the rest of your life. A reverse mortgage is a very complex type of loan. You can do a lot of things with it. It's one of the most versatile loan programs on the planet. Because basically it's a home equity line of credit. So you can borrow, you can take some money out, you can pay it back. You don't have to pay it back. So what I'd like to do, especially when I'm talking to a reverse mortgage customer, is, sit down with you, talk to you about what your plans are, what you're trying to achieve, and then I could kind of tailor the program to meet your particular needs, because your needs are different than your neighbor's needs. So that's the best way to handle it.
Where are you located?
Port St. Lucie.
There you go. Okay. Now, you gave your name and phone number to Karen when you called, did you not?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you have Mike talk to you off the air on a one-on-one basis, and then we'll talk some generalities, unless you've got... Mike, is there a percentage that he was looking at if you're 80 compared to...
There's a life insurance annuity table that all the loan-to-values are based on. So, like I said, the older you are, the more we're going to lend you. But my guess is, based on your age, we're probably going to be able to lend up to about 65% of that value of the house.
So if the house is worth 200, 65% would be 130.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's worth 250, then... maybe 140 or so, pay off the mortgage, and you've got the rest of the money available to either take and spend, or a line of credit, or any way you want to go.
Right. And the beauty, if you don't need all the money, if you just want to pay off your existing mortgage and you just want to have a line of credit available for your future needs, then that unused portion of your line of credit actually grows at 4% per year. So you're getting a 4% return on your investment right there.
Yeah, the money you don't use. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's a great, great program. And you got any else we can answer for you, or we'll have Mike just give you a call when you're off the air?
Yeah, give me a call when you're off the air, please.
All right. Is there a best time to call you? Tomorrow?
I'm here at home all day. You could call me anytime in the morning, after 9 or so.
Yeah, it's best if I'm in front of my computer, because all these calculations are generated through a complex, equation. So I plug in your age, plug in the value of the house, calculate the closing costs, and then I can pretty much give you some options at that point.
Okay.
All right. So thank you.
All right. I'm waiting your call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll call tomorrow, right?
Thanks. Yeah, I'll definitely
call
tomorrow.
You tomorrow. You'll hear from him tomorrow. You have a wonderful day, and thank you for calling.
Thank you.
We have some success stories about using reverse mortgages.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Many. I think it's the greatest thing since chocolate milk.
I don't understand why more people don't
Well, you know, somehow or other, you know, whenever I look, if you ever noticed that the doom and gloom people that always do this, but they're selling something. You know, nobody does anything without an underlying
motive. There's a purpose somewhere. Yeah.
So I look at some of the doom and gloom people now. They're trying to sell gold and silver, thinking the world's going to come to an end and they're going to be better off with gold and silver. And I get kind of a joke out of it. And I said, okay, fine. So the world comes to an end and you got this bar of gold.
You can't eat it.
And what are you going to do? You're going to walk into Winn-Dixie and you're going to shave off a piece with your knife for a loaf of bread, right? If you shave off too much, you get 2 loaves of bread. But Winn-Dixie doesn't have any electricity and the cash register doesn't take gold. So what are you going to do? Anyway, it's kind of a...
There's means to invest in gold. It's not simply for that. But yes, for the doom and gloomers, it's that or nothing.
But I have seen these people that have sold, or not sold, but they pitch on TV or magazines or seminars. Let's talk bad about a reverse mortgage and how bad it is and what it can do to bad people. And, you know, and I'm thinking, huh, what are they selling? It's got to be something, you know, because my favorite one was an old lady.
You got to be old to get this. I hate to tell you, folks. You got to be at least 62, which by anybody's estimations, except somebody as old as Vince, is
I'm at least 62, but I'm still younger than you.
Everybody's younger than me. Yeah. This is not a pretty picture.
We can get you a really good
reverse mortgage. You're going to have a great reverse mortgage.
So anyway, this lady was about 80 in Fort Pierce, had lived in a house for a long, long, long time. The house was paid for, and she never had air conditioning.
Unimaginable
in Florida. And she got a reverse mortgage and had central air conditioning put in. And I can't tell you the smile that came across her face when that AC turned on.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these years, you know, and it's just, it's unbelievable that when you look at a success story. Then I had another fellow who lived next door to somebody that got a reverse mortgage, and he says, "This has got to be a scam." And I said, "Why? How can anybody give you money you don't have to pay back?" And I said, "Well, it doesn't work exactly that way." He says, "Yes, it does. That's what she told me. She never has to pay it." And I said, "Well, it's a loan on the property, and sooner or later, she's going to die or sell it. Then she's got to pay it."
Yeah.
Yep. So, with interest, by the way, although the interest is deductible.
Only when it's payable. And usually when it's you're dead.
When you're dead. However, your estate will get the deductible.
Well, the other side of the coin is, let's say that, and I've had people say, and this is another big one with a reverse mortgage. So the kids say, "Wait a minute, Mom got this reverse mortgage for $200, but the house is now only worth $150 because
they won.
I says, "What's the problem with this?" "Well, our inheritance is gone." And I said, "Well, okay." And your point is,
you know, that's the biggest objection I get when I talk to seniors about a reverse mortgage. They want to leave their kids something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to get anything.
Right, right.
You know, yeah, this is a mortgage against the property, and the mortgage will eventually have to be paid off. But most people don't understand, if you took a regular standard mortgage, it would be the same situation. Yeah. You still have to pay off
the debt against the property. You still got to pay it off.
Right. The only difference here is normally the reverse mortgage goes in reverse. The interest accumulates on the loan.
That's where they get. The difference. So that is
the difference. But In a normal real estate market, the theory here is that the property is also going to appreciate.
In theory, hopefully
it'll appreciate faster than the interest is accumulating on the loan.
That's the theory. And that's the whole.
Sometimes it doesn't work always like that.
No. You know, if we take out bubbles, which there are bubbles every so often.
We
just had the biggest one in real estate. But if you take a period of time of the last 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, real estate you bought. Look, what'd you pay for your first house, Vince?
I think we paid $35,000.
I paid $12,000, because that's because I'm so much older than you.
That's right. You were at least 20 years older, and that was back in the
60s. I am not 20 years older than you. Just because you look older than me, you feel guilty.
There you go.
Anyway, the key was, you know, and then, you know, and how many times have we seen people say, "Well, gee, I paid $35,000 or $40,000 for my house in New York, and I sold it for $200,000. Because they lived there for 20 and 30 years. Well, they got all that equity all of a sudden, and now they can come. That was another thing I think I love about a reverse mortgage. You can buy a brand new house with a reverse mortgage.
I'm financing one now for a family member. They're buying a brand new construction. They sold a condo down in Miami. They made a very nice profit, and they're going to use roughly half of that to buy a brand new house here in Martin County.
Wow.
And then what they do is the other half of the money is the mortgage that they don't have to make a payment on.
Right, exactly. So you have all the benefits of owning the property free and clear, like you don't have to make a mortgage payment. Now, you still have to pay the taxes and you have to the insurance and you have to keep the property maintained. But you're going to need to do that whether you have a reverse mortgage or not.
Or no mortgage.
Don't you actually have to warrant that to the bank that you're going to keep up with those payments?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, but you have to.
It's a precondition to the loan.
Yeah, but that's the requirements for every mortgage.
For every mortgage, yeah, you're going to maintain the property. You're not going to abandon the property or destroy the property, et cetera. But
the beauty here is they walked away with probably close to $400,000, and they're going to use probably less than $200,000 to buy this brand new property and have no mortgage payments.
Nice.
It's a wonderful program.
1-888-221-8990.
Well, they don't care because they've got their mortgage on the first property. So they got their loan covered.
The lender
does.
Of course.
On the first property. So really, when you think, I'm saying to myself, why would the lender even allow you to do that?
Right? What are you talking about?
Put it into another
property. No. This is a reverse mortgage for purchasing. You use a brand new reverse mortgage to buy a new property. They sold their property. They used half of their proceeds from that to put down on this property.
And then we gave them
a reverse mortgage balance of it.
So now they've got a $400,000 house with a $200,000 mortgage that they never have to make a payment on.
I got you. Yep.
And they have $200,000 left over in cash to play with.
Yeah, now they have investment monies that they can earn a yield on.
Yep.
It's a beautiful thing.
Hey, speaking of yields, can we ever talk about that?
Is anything paying a yield anymore?
It's funny you should say that. In fact, I had this fellow that was talking about King's Isle, and he listened to the radio show regularly and deal with Greg Fasula, et cetera. Finally calls me, listening to me talk about debt instruments, and he says, Joe, how can you pay this 5% and 6%? And I said, well, I'm not paying it, but some of the biggest companies in America, including utilities, have issued these debt instruments, which are not common stock. Now, for those of you that listen and you hear stock market, when anybody says common stock, you own a share in that company. Now, let's say you own 10 shares of General Motors and there's 10 million shares out. Mm-hmm. You don't own much, but you're an owner along with the other 10 million shares that are out there. Now, what happens is when a company gets in trouble, they go bankrupt. When a company goes bankrupt, attorneys get paid first.
Yes.
After the attorneys, the debtors get paid in the order of secured debtors, meaning let's say they have a mortgage on property or loans on equipment. Then after that are the unsecured mortgages, unsecured loans, unsecured debt. And then after that, the owners get any money that's left over. And coincidentally, that almost never happens because there's no money left over. That's why they went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. So that is why these instruments are not common stock. They're debt instruments. Debt instruments, a note, a debenture, a preferred, they have different names. But literally, you're getting a loan. You're loaning them money, and they're going to pay you interest. Just that simple.
Are these secured debts or unsecured debts?
Unsecured debts. Almost all of them are unsecured. But when you're dealing with utilities or some of the biggest companies in America, and they're going to pay you 5 or 6%, and you're going to get paid interest every 3 months, and they're 100% liquid. And what's that mean? I can buy it today, sell it tomorrow. Well,
but they're kind of quasi-governmental. They never go bankrupt. Rarely do they go bankrupt.
Because
they could go out and raise, they could get the utility to let them raise rates and that kind of thing.
If a utility goes down the tubes.
Yeah. Then we have bigger problems.
We're getting a yield.
we're back again to going Winn-Dixie, and it's closed.
Right. Where's your bar of gold?
Get your bar of gold, and Mike's growing vegetables in his backyard, and he says, Joe, I'll take a sliver of that gold for some of my vegetables. Then he comes back over to me, and he says, hey, Joe, I need an oar for my boat because I can't get any gas. Here's a sliver of my gold for a paddle.
Right. Well, utilities aren't going out of business because they can always have the ability to pay their bills because they just raise the rates.
That's all. Little minor thing.
So they're not that's not a good example. The other better example would be a commercial company.
Yeah.
Just a regular commercial company, not a utility.
But if you take some of the biggest companies, household names that you feel very comfortable about, and I mean I'm talking some magnificent company. Now 5-6%, I've even got some that are pushing 7 these days. Now that's all the good news. The bad news is These are short term, meaning they have what's called call dates. Call means they can say, take your money back whether you want it or not. But the ones I'm dealing with, basically the call dates are out 3 and 4 or 5 years from now. So these are not normally considered long term. Now, one of the things that I feel strongly about, and I have for the last 2.5 years, is that the market today and has been and continues to be full. Mm-hmm. The Dow has been sitting at 18,000, give or take a few hundred points now, for 2.5 years. Why? Well, most people don't necessarily think about this, but if a company is making money, making profits, normally their value goes up.
Right.
If a company is losing money, not making profits, their value goes down.
But also you have a situation now where else do you put your money but the stock market? You can't put it in the bank and earn any decent revenue from it.
Well, you can put it in debt instruments.
You can put it in gold and silver.
You can put it in gold and silver, commodities. Now, mm-hmm. Is there risk in that? Of course there is.
There is risk. There's risk in all. It's been used as a hedge in the past, Joe. Really, right. As a hedge to inflation, which we haven't seen yet.
But we haven't seen. And right now, I've had a couple of calls last week about gold and silver because gold has went up like crazy for the last few months. And you know, every time I hear too much euphoria, everybody's happy with gold and silver, it's too late.
Yeah. That's right. It is.
Because it's all of a sudden, you know, I forget how many years ago it was now, but I met my clients that we had in gold, we hit a certain number and I said, it's time to get out. Don't stay greedy because it'll take a correction. Everything is based on some kind of formula, and usually the formula is supply and demand. And who is using all of this gold? Well, there's certain cultures that use more than others, certain that hoard it. There's certain uses for medical.
Plus there's commercial use, as you say.
Commercial
use. Silver, they put it into electronics and things exactly. Like that. So there's commercial use for it, so it has value.
So you have to look at all of that stuff, but the key is this. There is a common denominator that there should be what I'm going to call a market value of that. And if it's priced way over that, there's something driving it that might be artificial. You remember back in the tech bubble when Alan Greenspan said, boy, it's going to burst. And of course it did.
Mm-hmm.
People were buying tech companies like crazy, thinking this was the greatest thing since chocolate milk. And the companies never made a profit, never produced a product, so to speak. And they went
bust. In a strange kind of way, not so serious, but we have that today, Joe, because the P.E. ratios have gone up and up and up. And the earnings, the fundamentals aren't there.
Here,
so what's sustaining this 18,000 Dow?
Well, what happened is, and what Mike was just saying, here is what happened. Unemployment is pretty decent today.
If you believe the numbers?
If you believe the numbers. But it's better than it was, let's say, 5 years ago, under any circumstance. There's more people working today than were working 5 years ago. Incomes. No, you don't think so?
I don't agree with that.
Okay, well.
But, okay.
No, I do. I see that they.
You just don't believe the government.
Employment situation has improved.
I don't believe the numbers that come out of it.
Well, let me give you this then. The price of real estate in the last year or 2 years has appreciated tremendously, especially in Southeast Florida. Now, normally when the values go up considerably, it's supply and demand. So right now, if we had Victoria here, the supply of listings has gone down, the supply of existing houses is down, prices have gone up pretty dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Prices are still below new construction costs, but they're catching up. When you on a parity, when new construction and old construction are similar, that's what you call a really full market. When all of a sudden, when the bubble hit with too much easy money,
yeah.
When used houses were cost more than new houses,
yeah, because people didn't want to wait for the new construction.
It had to burst, and it did. So literally, today when Vince was talking price to earnings ratio, the magic number, if it's in line, is about 10. Today it's pushing 20.
Yeah, exactly.
That means it's the market is full at the best.
Yep.
Many people are predicting a severe correction.
Adjustment or correction.
Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, okay, fine. Don't take a chance. Let's sit out, fat, dumb, and happy. Make 5 or 6%, and maybe 6 months, a year from now, I don't know when it's going to turn, and I don't know if it'll turn. But
I just
time
can't
to diversify.
See, I just can't see where the market goes from 18,000. I just
well, does, I, it, I agree
does,
with you there.
Does it go to 20?
Well,
it could,
know, but you
it
know,
could if the Fed keeps pumping more money.
Yeah,
in.
But I think they've painted themselves into a corner. I
but
think
back
that
again to P/E ratio. Use earnings and growth. If companies are not growing, how can their value of that company get higher?
Precisely. And your question is? Why is the market as high as it is? That goes back to my first question.
We're back to being overpriced.
Exactly. I think it's overpriced, and I think there'll be a correction.
So, don't go in the market. It's my whole thing.
Well, you should diversify anyway. You shouldn't have all your money there anyway. It should be diversified. Maybe real estate, maybe gold and silver, maybe some other thing. You should come up with some ideas for our listeners.
I have a CPA that gives me ideas.
Ah, okay. But you're the financial guy.
Here's the key. And I also look at how old a person is and how much time they've got and what their goal is with their money. So, you know, like right now, one of my favorite things long-term is still the S&P 500 long-term, 20 years, 30 years.
20, 30 years, yeah, I agree with
and
that.
And I also look at the NASDAQ 100, which I think is probably a better bet even from a longer standpoint, 20 or 30 years. So somebody's 30 or 40 years old, they've got a lot longer to work and to accumulate and to contribute
right.
to savings. And then I start to look at a person a little differently. However, when they're sitting across from me and they're 30 or 40 years old and they say, Joe, what about you? You're not so young. What would you do? And I said, let me tell you, I would still sit around at 5 or 6% for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wrong, you still did pretty well.
Right.
If you're right and the market corrects and things come back to give you an opportunity, you take advantage of it.
Well, I think if you're 20, 30 years old and you want to get into the market, why wouldn't you put your money into these 5, 6% exchange traded debts until that buying opportunity came up?
There you go. And that's what I was saying. So when I talk to somebody, I say, look, let's look at it long term, short term, medium term, any term. And let me just give you what we just talked about. And this is what we do from an education standpoint and why the three of us can sit here and beat this up. And even though I don't always believe what CPAs tell me,
even though they may be accurate.
Even though they may be accurate. But, you know, you got to look at the goal of the person, and all the risk tolerance is another big word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen young people say, hey, I'm 25 years old. I got $10,000. I want to double that as fast as possible. I said, well, what if you lose it all? He said, well, $10,000 isn't going to make me rich. So are you willing to lose it?
That's true in a traditional market, Joe, but I don't think we're in a traditional market.
Well, I didn't say we are, but even then, there are certain investments inside, not the broad market, individual companies. Like, wouldn't it have been smart, Mike, if we'd have both bought Facebook when it first came out?
Yeah, I had my doubts about it when it first came out.
I did, too.
I thought it was a risky proposition.
And it was, but guess what? We were wrong.
Yes.
So
yeah, but what about Alibaba?
Well, listen, it's still bigger than here's another one, Amazon. It's never made a profit, but it's soaring all of a sudden.
You know what I heard
now
today?
They're going to start making a profit.
Now they heard that they're going to be starting doing deliveries on their own. They're going to start a delivery division.
Why not? Here's what I'm trying to say.
They're going to eat into FedEx and UPS.
But there are some geniuses out there every once in a while that can come up with a better mousetrap. And if you're lucky enough to get it, like who did Microsoft at the beginning, you know, do you remember there was a movie out called The 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yes, I remember that movie.
The family goes into the bomb shelter, and the kid all of a sudden is 40 years old, and they've been living in this bomb shelter their whole life. And before they went in 40 years earlier, dad had bought little companies like IBM and Microsoft, and the kid gets out there, and the world's not gone, and all of a sudden dad's a multimillionaire, and dad had his 10 shares of. But what happened is some part of it is luck, but part of it is risk, and here comes. For every winner, oftentimes there's a loser. So how good a risk taker are you? How good are you at figuring out which is the right company? I knew a guy up north years and years ago. He was a tool and die maker, and he supplied the automobile companies. He was one of their subcontractors. He only invested in other tool and die companies because he knew what the automobile companies were doing at the time, and he knew that business intimately. I had another old guy. Said, I had 28 companies in my life. 28. He said, I made money in one, lost in 27. Because the one I knew, the 27 I was talked into, because I had too much money in one, so I could lose it in the 27.
Exactly.
But, you know, we've seen that happen time and time again.
Stick with what you know best.
Stick with what you know best. And the best thing to do is to get educated. So, in fact, I had a phone call last week from a lady who said, And you know, we hear about, she asked about annuity contracts, and I was thinking, oh boy, this is a real touchy subject because there's people that don't always tell the truth about certain products, and I hear it constantly.
And I just said, look, you got to look at your goal, what you want to accomplish. And most times we talk certain contracts are good for long term. They're not good for short term.
Like so, annuities, for example.
Like annuities. Mm-hmm. So most of my thing, as we're talking today, Vince, you're talking, is short. I'm mostly into the short term mode for most people.
Right.
Until the dust settles politically, economically, internationally, et cetera. And it may never settle. We don't know.
Yeah, there always seems to be something new on the horizon.
And this never fails, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, geopolitically, we got a lot going on.
Tons. 1-888-221-8990. Come on. Somebody call in and ask a question about a mortgage. Somebody call in and ask a message about 401ks.
How about business taxes?
How
personal
about that,
taxes?
That solo 401k?
Hey, solo 401k.
Oh, boy, do I have a lot of questions for you about that, Vince. I have I have my paperwork right here.
Nice. On that to solo 401k?
Yes, I do.
Well, the magic of that, but you can't have it.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
How can you if you have to have no employees?
Right.
Yes, but I'm set up a little bit more complicated.
There was a movie about that. Well, there's a key is this. The solo 401k means just the word solo. If you've got a company that you're the only employee and you
and your spouse.
And your spouse, and you can now put up to $58,000 a year?
59.
Don't
it's
pay
a beautiful
tax.
Thing.
Oh, man. If you're making really good money for a period of time, and it may not last, you don't know, but right now you can put that money aside and pay no tax on it, and tax avoidance is legal, it's the right thing to do. Tax evasion is wrong, you go to jail.
Exactly.
But the key is this, the government gave people an opportunity to put money aside for retirement with that program.
Yes, sir.
Let me get a caller here. Caller, it's Joe Martek, you're on the radio. Hello?
Guess hi there.
Hi.
I have a question. I know that you guys were talking about reverse mortgage, but it's very confusing, and what age? Number one, does the property have to be paid off in order to do a reverse mortgage?
No.
And at what age can you get? Can you do one?
No, not at all. You can have a mortgage on the property. We can use the reverse mortgage as a refinancing tool. We can refinance a regular traditional mortgage.
How do you do that?
First of all, you have to be 62 years old in order to qualify, and someone like our last caller who was in his 80s. They would qualify for more than someone who is only just turned 62. So, So what we do is, you know, it's how much we lend you on the property is based on your age. The older you are, the more we lend you. And we're going to appraise the property, too, to come up with the value. That's the two most important determining factors when we do a reverse mortgage. Then we look at your income to make sure that your income is sufficient to pay your taxes, your insurance, and pretty much maintain the property. Your credit has to be decent, not very, you know, doesn't have to be perfect. But if you have a history of having some credit issues, we may want to take some money into escrow to make sure that your taxes are paid in the future. So that's the basics of it.
Okay, but in terms of, let's say the property, you owe $120,000 on the property, and then you get a reverse mortgage for more money. So wouldn't that mean that you owe more money on the property?
Well, then probably the house would have to be worth about $250,000 or so. Then there would be sufficient equity in order to give you a reverse mortgage. And basically that would just pay off the existing mortgage you have. So you're refinancing that existing mortgage with a reverse mortgage.
But you never make a payment on this one unless you want to. So what happens is this, that $1,000 a month that you're paying now, let's say principal and interest, you wouldn't pay anymore. And you'd still be living in your house and you'd have the same mortgage you had before, give or take. And at some point down the road, if the house appreciates 5% a year and your debt goes up 5% a year and you decide to die, the house is still worth more than is owed, or you sell it. All of those things are options.
Yeah. So in your situation, if you're using a reverse mortgage to pay off an existing mortgage, you're probably not going to walk away with cash. You might walk away with some, but basically what you're doing is paying off that old mortgage to increase your revenue, your cash stream, because you don't have to pay that mortgage anymore, that old mortgage.
Does that make any sense?
So you're swapping a mortgage that you're making payments on for a mortgage you don't have to make payments on.
That's
correct.
Mm-hmm. You know, so one, the mortgage will grow every year. The balance will get higher. But in theory, let's say the house goes up 5 or 10% a year. Like say in the last year or two, Martin, St. Lucie, Palm Beach County have gone up 10 to 15, 20% some places.
Yeah.
Well, you're only paying, let's say, a 5 or 4% interest rate. Your value of your house has gone up much more than the amount of the mortgage. So you still have equity if you decided to sell. Right. Or if when you died, your kids say, okay, Mom, we're planting here. You're gone. Now we're going to sell the house and put the money in our pocket and go have a good time. Okay. That all that can be accomplished.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's forest in the trees, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everything's easy once you know it. But if you can't get past the trees to see the forest.
You know, there's so many different parts to a reverse mortgage. I mean, to give you an example, I did a reverse mortgage for a gentleman. He, you know, his spouse died. Half of his income died along with her.
Right.
Was no longer able to pay his mortgage and pay all his debts. So, you know, it ended up into a nasty bankruptcy situation. But he had a retirement account, which is protected in a bankruptcy.
Right.
So his options were, and it was only about $60,000-$70,000. So his options were to liquidate that retirement account and buy something for $60,000 or $70,000, or rent. So what he decided to do, and after we talked a little bit, we were able to give him a reverse mortgage, and he bought like a $140,000 house, using only $60,000 or $70,000. Of his retirement income. So then what we...
And he doesn't have a payment.
He doesn't have a payment, but he did have an income. And his goal was not really to have a reverse mortgage. So he opted to make payments on that reverse mortgage, and you can do that.
Sure.
So the point I'm trying to make here is it's a very versatile mortgage instrument. You can make payments on it. You don't have to make mortgage payments on it. If you want to just take out X amount of dollars and just pay the interest on that, you can. Mm-hmm. But there's no requirement to do that.
The whole concept is very simple. The lender is making the loan, and they're going to collect the interest eventually when you either sell the home or die, and your kids pay it off or do whatever. And let's say that all of a sudden you owe more than the house is worth. It's a government-insured mortgage, so there's no liability to your heirs or anybody. I mean, Mike, I had clients of mine literally that had a two-bedroom condo that's worth $50,000 in today's market that got up to $180,000 that mm-hmm. had a reverse mortgage, and they took $130,000 out of that.
Sure.
So they both went into a nursing home, and they said, Joe, what do we do with that? And I said, you smile. and you're happy. It's yeah. insurance. The insurance company is going to pick a slack up. You don't have to worry.
Yeah,
you're paid a premium for that insurance to cover that lender. So the lender's going to be okay. But the weirdest thing was on that reverse mortgage, they would get statements in the mail demanding that they get it paid. Well, that was like standard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not in the house anymore. The rules are if you aren't in the house anymore, you got to sell it.
Yeah, you got to pay back the loan. See, that's one of the requirements for reverse mortgage. When you no longer occupy the house, they call the loan due, and yeah. usually that's done by selling the property and yeah. paying off the loan.
But they don't phrase it in such a way that people understand it sometimes. But that's okay.
Right.
You got a caller. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, I wanted to talk to someone about the mortgage.
Go ahead.
Okay, I have a mortgage now. I'm right at 7.5%, and I wanted to try to refinance it or find a better
interest rate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you should be able to do a lot better than what you're in. Yeah, depending on what your qualifications are, if you do qualify for a standard mortgage, we could look at a refinance. I mean, if you're at least 62 or older, we could even look at refinancing that into a reverse mortgage.
How old are you, ma'am?
I'm in my 70, but the mortgage, I think, is over the amount. So
you owe more on the house than it's worth, you think?
Yes.
Well, see, that's a problem. Now, what about the HARP II program, Mike?
Yeah, there's still some programs out there. One of them is called the HARP II refinance program, and that's still around. It was put out, you know, during the recession to help people refinance. And what that is for is to help you refinance houses that are upside down. But you know what? The first thing that we should probably look at is maybe we should, you know, pull your property address up on Zillow or one of the other appraisal service companies online, and we can see really where you are, how much equity, if any, that you have.
You gave your name and number to Karen when you called in, didn't you?
She went head on and put me, I think I did.
Okay. Why don't we do this? You want Mike to give you a call tomorrow and he can talk to you on the phone and counsel you and see if you can accomplish something?
Yes, but I have to set, you know, my time.
What time is good for you?
Okay, tomorrow is Thursday. I should be back into the house at 10:30.
All right, Mike, can you make a point to call this lady after 10:30 tomorrow morning?
Absolutely.
All right, you will hear from Mike Paulus after 10:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling.
See, that's one of the things that I like to do. I mean, before, you know, I get everyone's hopes up, you know, to see if I can help them, you know, I'll take the extra step maybe to pull some sales in the neighborhood. Now, it's no guarantee that the house is going to be worth what the other houses are, but at least it gives you an idea. Sure. And whether you really want to waste the money or spend the money on an appraisal.
Well, the other side of the coin is if she has a HARP 2, if she qualifies because of income and credit, right? You still have to have
income. You still have to qualify in every other regard.
But if she's got a 7.5% mortgage today, maybe you can get her down to 4, which would cut her interest payment down almost in half.
Yeah.
Which would mean her actual house payment would go down considerably.
Yeah, and what that program requires is that you have to have an existing Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan. And most people don't know if they have that, but that's easy enough to find out because there's websites. You just plug in your information, and it tells you whether it's a Fannie Mae loan or a Freddie Mac loan.
And if you don't have the power of called a website hanging around your house, which means a computer, you got this guy, Mike Paulus, that can do that stuff for you.
Sure, and I'd be happy to do that.
So he will give you a call tomorrow and counsel you in there. Because I will tell you, I think that the mortgage business is the most exciting thing today with all of the programs that are available out there to help people. And unbelievably good interest rates.
Yeah, definitely.
And our cheerleader is a wave
our conductor.
Our conductor. Poor Karen. She's now been here about a month and a half, and when she first started, she was like a deer in the headlights. But she's finally understanding that we're not going to just shoot her every time. You know?
Right, exactly.
So we're
here to have a little fun,
she's
too.
Starting to have some fun with it, which is good. Well, we're winding down, folks. We probably don't have time for any more phone calls, but anytime you want to talk to any one of us, you call the radio station. Karen or Pastor Tom, God love him. Hopefully he'll be back here in a few days and be healthy enough to get back to work. They'll take your name and phone number, and she'll get to us, or Tom will, and we'll call you up and we'll help you. That's what we do. And our cheerleader back here, she'll just keep waving signs at us.
No, it's our conductor.
We have 1 minute. Look at you. She's ambidextrous. She can use either hand.
She's going to give us one of these.
Yeah, right. What is this? Shut up or I'm going to kill you. I don't like that sign.
Anyway. Well, that's better than our other producer who would give us just the finger.
Yeah,
that's right.
Meaning 1 minute left.
One minute left. We got the finger.
Of course. All right,
but
folks,
it was always
listen.
The index.
We want to thank you so much for listening. And understand, you're talking to some very committed Christians here. We're a bit irreverent, or I am especially, but we think... I have a client of mine that came from WCNO, and I says, you know, I hope Jesus has a sense of humor. And he says, Joe, he has to put up with you. All right, we're winding down. The day's almost over. Vince and I have to take the women out to Bono's for some barbecue. So until next week, thank you so much.
All right.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.